Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is Philippians chapter 1, beginning with the 18th verse. We hear from St. Paul. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the support of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This matches my earnest expectation and hope that I will in no way be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, so even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Yes, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to go on living in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet which should I prefer? I do not know. I am pulled in two directions, because I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for your sake that I remain in the flesh. And since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And so, by my coming to you again, my goal is to give you even more reason to boast in Christ Jesus. Just conduct yourselves in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending together with one soul for the faith of the gospel. This is the word of God. Dear friends in Christ, there are creatures living among us. Isn't that sort of how some of these thrillers start, whether you're reading science fiction or watching a film or a TV series? That there are creatures living among us. It might be an alien race with a human disguise. You can't tell the difference. A real recent realistic depiction of this was a robot, the 2014 movie Ex Machina. Just really kind of a creepy movie. This woman who was a robot, but she sure looked like a woman, and she tricked her creators into setting her free. And now she lives among us at the end of the film. Sorry to spoil it for you. But it's true that there are creatures living among us. It's true about Christians. There are Christians living among us. And I don't want to scare anybody, but they look a lot like everyone else. In their living, they're like other men and women. They eat, they drink, they wear clothes like everyone else. They have joys and sorrows as everyone else has. They're found working in various callings and stations in life. They are rich and poor, learned and unlearned, experienced and inexperienced. They have their merits. They have their defects. They have their weaknesses and illnesses and infirmities. And they're influenced by their surroundings, just like others who are not Christians. So also in dying, the Christians are like everyone else. They die young, and they die old. They die sudden deaths, and they die lingering deaths. They die conscious and unconscious. They die at home, and they die abroad. In all outward circumstances of living and of dying, there is no difference between Christians and others. And so Jesus Christ says, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. Neither shall people say, here it is or there it is, for the kingdom of God is within you. Another way to translate that, kingdom of God is among you. Or in another place, Paul says, for the kingdom of God does not consist of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the same thing is implied in these words. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a peculiar happiness of the Christian that goes invisible, unseen in any circumstance of living and dying. Among Christians, these words flow with comfort, if you are a Christian. We haven't lost the dead who have died. And the dead have gained great things. There's great things in store for those who live. In fact, those who are living now are also living in Christ. And there's a beauty to that, to the Christian. Because the most precious gain is that which results from this peculiar relation we have with Jesus Christ. With the fact that that there is deliverance from sorrow and grief, that's maybe the least gain. The greatest gain is that we have a relation with Jesus Christ. And so Paul forces us to think about death and life in a new way. As he says, we have Christ. One way or another. Christians live in Christ. Christians gain in death. But one way or another, we have Christ. The book of Philippians, we'll see lessons next month throughout each of those four chapters. The book of Philippians is one of St. Paul's prison letters. He writes as a captive in Rome. There's three others, Philemon, Colossians, and Philemon, not Ephesians. Yes, Ephesians. It's funny when you know something and then that 100th time you repeat it, it goes away. The point being that Paul was writing from prison. Point being that Paul was under house arrest and he had a lot of time to think. He has a lot of time to think about life, but he also has the time to think about the prospect of impending death. So, which one's better? Paul explores that for us in our sermon text. He explains that really, when you boil it right down to the very core, either way, you have Jesus Christ. You have him. He's yours by the faith connection. By placing trust in Jesus, you have him whether you are alive or after death in this world. Now, Paul belonged not to himself. He belonged to the Lord. He lived not to himself, but unto Christ. And he was willing to go on living in the flesh. Because in the flesh, he could serve the Lord. He made all his decisions in reference to Jesus Christ. That was his reference point for anything that he ever did. From the moment of conversion onward, he claimed Christ as his own, and he had Christ to direct him this way and that. He was caught up in the Spirit on occasion. He was told this or that way to go. Among believers who prayed with him, whether it was Ephesus or Philippi or Colossae, all of those were places where Paul had visited and known Christians. He had three missionary journeys to do this, to repeat the gospel over and over and over. He loved the Bible as Christ's work, the Lord's Supper as Christ's sacrament. His dearest friends were brothers and sisters in Christ. His sweetest work, the performance of Christ's will, and his only comfort after many transgressions was Jesus Christ and all the forgiveness that Christ had in store for him. Christ was in Paul's heart, in his mind, and in his walk. To Paul, to live was to use and exercise and express, although in human weakness, the power of Christ's holiness. That was life to Paul. It was Christ. He says in other places, 2 Corinthians 5:15, one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. Or consider Galatians 2:20, even earlier than that, he wrote, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Or in another letter that he sent with his servant Epaphroditus from his location in prison in Rome, Colossians, he wrote, our life is hidden with Christ in God. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Some live for war. Some live for money. Some live for earthly possessions, for land. Some live for sports. Some live for partying. Some live for pleasure. Some live for politics. Paul lived for Christ. And if you think about it, how much did Paul really know about Christ? Like John said, there are so many things that could have been written about Jesus, but I suppose if we wrote all those things down, it would fill all the books in the whole world. And then, not only the life of Christ, but you consider the immense knowledge and capacity of our God Almighty. How much do we really know about him? He's told us a little bit, just enough to comprehend what it means to live as a Christian, what it means to trust in him, what it means to rely on him in full confidence, what it means to go off and live our sanctified life and do good works and not let good works go undone, to not sin and fight against temptation. But well, if you think about it, there's so very little that we know about our God, who simply asks us to trust him and to live in him, in fact, to identify our lives as Jesus Christ. Some people would say, well, I didn't think I'd live to see a year like 2020. Didn't think I'd live to see a pandemic like this. Didn't think I'd live to see a political race like this, a debate like this. Didn't think I'd live to see my workplace turn into this. Why did God allow me to live in these times? And at times we may rue the day that we were alive in 2020. We might attach that to an illness or an affliction or a broken relationship or an adjustment in our life that is just ruining our routine. But brothers and sisters, God has placed us here to share a message like this with one another, that at times like these, it really counts. For me to live is not ruin, is not politics, is not pandemic. For me to live is Christ, and none other. It's not even to me to live is Pastor Bodie, or to you to live is insert first name here. For me to live is Christ. After all, what were we so upset about when we have a Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who died for us to take away our sins? And how could we have a life unless we had a Lord Jesus who rose again from the dead to guarantee eternity for you and for me? Whom have I in heaven but Christ? And earth has nothing I desire besides Christ. For me to live is Christ. And what a glorious life it continues to be. What a glorious life it will be when it culminates in our death. When we enjoy the fullness of his grace. When eternity is an uninterrupted service of praise. When Jesus calls us home and we can say, for me to live was Christ. Yeah, Christians gain in death. And the apostle doesn't just stop at to live is Christ. He goes on and says to die is gain. Not as a man, not as an apostle, but as a Christian, Paul says, to die is gain. Not because he was on the upper echelons of the hierarchy of Christianity, the Christian faith, Christian church, but because in loneliness, he knew how little he had to do with his eternity. He knew how much Jesus had to do. He knew death is gain. He knew dying is winning. The unbeliever's death is a total loss. Dying is losing. It's losing money, losing riches, losing joys, losing pleasures, losing possessions, losing expectations. And wonder as they all perish with the unbeliever in death. That life is lost. That life is gone. Forfeit. And after death, that individual opens eyes to hell and eternal torment. That's why it's so important for us to repeat these words. Because for the believer in Christ, the soul is carried to Abraham's side. The Christian's death is all gain. Even our loss in death is gain. Think about that. What does the believer in Christ lose? All sorrow, all pain. Believer in Christ loses all weariness, all weakness, all weeping, all failing, all death. You lose all of that in death. All fear. You lose all of that in death. And what a happy loss. What happy things to lose, to leave behind, and to let go into the way of destruction of the whole world. It's no loss at all. It's gain. And the gain is more. It's superabundance. The Christian gains the crown of righteousness in death. They strove for righteousness in life, but always with human weakness. And the big myth is that Christians can do it all right. Or even the true Christian thinks he or she can do it all right. The true Christian knows it's impossible to do it all right. The Christian knows our failings. We know our weaknesses. We know when we've relied on the wrong things. We bear our hearts and our souls to God when we confess our sins and we lay it all on Jesus, the Lamb of God. That's Christian faith. Because by doing so and looking to the Lord of life, we also gain the crown of life. All the enemies of our lives, sin, death, the devil, the tyranny of the law, hell, all of those enemies, they're vanquished. They're driven from the believer. In the cross of Christ, we gain the crown of life. You can call it winning. You can call it leaping from the bottom to the top. You can call it turning darkness into light. You can call it turning death into life. No matter what you call it, these are really all very weak ways of expressing what we have in Jesus Christ in death. So much to gain. You can't even express it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord Jesus has prepared for those who love him. Such gain, such happiness, such triumph, we may fondly trust that our departed brothers and sisters now enjoy. It's a perfect time when we read to live as Christ, to die as gain, to reflect on believers. To know that those who are baptized into Christ, you can say about them anything that you say about Jesus Christ. To know that those who are baptized and gone into heaven, they claim that crown, and they're living it up. Far better than we ever could pre-2020, or post-2020, or any attachments of time. We're talking about people who live in eternity. We're talking about people who loved on the basis of Christ, because they put their faith in Christ. I'm very thankful and glad that my grandmas and my grandpas didn't live to see a pandemic, didn't live to see what we experience, but they lived through a lot. And they faced similar trials and enduring hardships. They lived Christ, and now they've gained in death, just as St. Paul, just as their Lord and Savior Jesus promises them. So yes, there are Christians living among us, but they're not here as in the thrillers to bring death. Christians are here to remind the rest that there is gain in death. And so now there is a life in Christ. So it's time to start living. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is his day of grace. Now is our chance to share life in Christ. People might not know who you are, Christian, because you look a lot like the rest of everybody around you. Use that to your advantage. Surprise someone with your witness this week. Share with them your life in Christ. Some have said that the gospel is something you share, and you might even use words. I'm telling you to use words so that people have a reason for the hope that you have, and they understand your faith, not only by the way you live, but by the way you speak. Share it with them so that they can look forward along with you to the way that you go in death in Christ, to proclaim that to live is him and to die is gain. In his name, amen. Please stand.